Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Hyundai. Restart your journey towards a greener Ireland at Hyundai.ie.
Kate Egan, thank you very much for that. Glad to hear that the weather's a little bit warmer out there than it was early enough this morning when it was raining. So I hope the rain has stopped anyway. Lots of you getting in touch with us, talking about how great hairdressers, for example, have been and places reopening, how really careful and caring and welcoming staff have been. Went to the hairdresser yesterday and they were brilliant. All processes and procedures in place, felt very safe. And if you get a chance to look at it on YouTube or Twitter or online, there's a clip, great clip doing the rounds from earlier this week from Mike Ryan, who of course is a Sligo stroke Mayo man who is very high up in the WTO. And if you just watch it, there's no highfalutin talk, no highfalutin language or anything like that. It's a very straightforward plea saying, look, just make your own decisions, assess everything, assess the risk before you decide. If you feel uncomfortable going into that restaurant or into the pub or to the hairdresser or into a crowd, well, then don't do it. If you think you should be wearing a mask, well, then wear a mask. So we can't always wait, I suppose, for governments and for the bar staff in a pub to tell us what we should or shouldn't be doing. It's up to us, each and every one of us, to try and assess the situation, read the situation and make sensible decisions, which in fairness we have been doing quite a lot. Okay, we're going to be hearing after the break about a very unusual, well, let's call it COVID-19 love story.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
And it's Damien here for Brendan. Today and tomorrow only. Now, imagine being locked down for 2 months with somebody that you've only known for 2 weeks. Well, it's happened. And here's the story. Here's what happened. Back in February, Irishman Michael David McKernan visits Chicago for the screening of his short film that he's made, because he's a filmmaker and an actor. And on that trip, he has a whirlwind Tinder romance with Mimi Wilcox, who lives in Chicago. 5 days later, the lovebirds say goodbye with no expectation of another meeting after that whirlwind romance. So on a whim, though, a few weeks later, Mimi decides to jump on a plane and come to Michael David's home in Dunboyne, County Meath, just for a few days, mind. But then the pandemic hit and they became locked down for 2 months. And this is your story. What a story. Michael David, good morning. Good afternoon morning, at this stage. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. Yeah,
that's good. Some people recognise your voice. You do ads on the radio as well, is that right?
Yeah, I'm an actor as well, so a voiceover artist comes under that umbrella, so you might recognize me from some ads.
And in this instance, what you've done is you've married, forgive the pun or the garbled pun there, you've married this romance with your other love, which is filmmaking. I mean, we'll get to that in a minute. Mm-hmm. But tell us about this trip to Chicago. So you're stuck on, you're only going to be there a few days, but you said, ah, sure, I'll go on the old Tinder.
Yeah, well, that's kind of where it started. Yeah, I went for this film festival for the screening of a film I'd made. And I went on my own because I'd never been to Chicago before. So I thought, what a great way to see the city. Mm. And I landed there and I thought, oh, you know, I might have a holiday romance and I'll go on Tinder and see if I can meet someone.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. On the first night I met Mimi and we spent the next 5 days together and had a lovely time. And it was great to see the city through the eyes of a local as well.
What attracted you to her?
To her?
Yeah.
I think, you know, we had a lot in common. She was a filmmaker as well. Yeah, we just clicked very quickly and yet got on very well and had this lovely whirlwind romance.
Right.
And
for a few days?
Just for 5 days, yeah, right. Exactly. In the knowledge that, you know, I would be going back home and her home is Chicago.
So you met her on the premise, look, this is going to be a holiday romance and nice to, as you do, and you meet somebody lovely locally and, you know, if you click, well and good, and if not, so on and so forth. But, I mean, was it a case of love at first sight? Was it a case when you were in O'Hare Airport thinking, I don't want to go, or what happened?
No, I think we both had a good understanding of the parameters of the, you know, holiday romance, and that it would be for the 5 days that I was there, and yeah, there was no pressure.
Well, how did you leave it?
We left it just saying, I don't know if I'll ever see you again.
Okay,
but it's been nice meeting you, and who knows what'll happen in the future.
Mimi, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How's life in Chicago? And happy 4th of July, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You'd forgotten, had you? Yeah, you just haven't got to that point of the day yet to realise it is the 4th
exactly.
of July, Mimi. Well, anyway, your beauty is here in front of me, and he's looking, you know, he's looking puppy eyed here as he listens to your voice. But anyway, so you had this romance, and then he's flying back to Ireland. You walked away from the airport or wherever you saw him last. What were you thinking?
You know, I think similarly, it had been just a really, you know, a really great time that we had together, and we really weren't sure if we'd ever see each other again, but was just trying to really appreciate, you know, what we'd had. But, you know, we wound up just really keeping in touch after he'd left. So that kind of kicked the whole thing off, I guess.
And on a whim, you said, I'm kind of missing this guy, so I'm going to go and visit him. Is that how it happened?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I think it was like just over a week later that I wound up flying up there.
And you arrived, and dates are important here. What date was that, David? When did Mimi arrive in Dublin?
Mimi arrived on March 13th, which, if anybody will remember, is the day that the country went into lockdown.
It was the Thursday, wasn't it?
The Friday morning, yeah.
And it was the day before, I think, or around that time, that Leo was actually in the States announcing
in
the closure of
yeah.
schools.
Yeah.
So the pubs and all closed that Sunday or Monday. Do you remember?
Exactly, that was the last
before
weekend.
Before St. Patrick's
yeah.
Day, right. So Mimi, you arrived here and you were obviously aware of COVID and what was happening. Did you think that you were going to end up spending so long here?
No, you know, I think that's the thing, is it happened so quickly, and it was only kind of as I was arriving and in the first couple of days there that it became clear just how severe everything was becoming. So it was a really quick shift from thinking it was just going to be a few days to starting to think, well, I'm not sure it's responsible to fly again.
Yeah, Mimi, listen, I don't believe a word of it. You knew exactly what you were doing. Everybody knew what was coming down the line. Don't give me that guff that you were just coming out a few days. You knew. Like it or lump it, he's going to have me for 2 months.
Oh,
she has no answer. She actually did, but that is exactly what happened. You had a flight back, but the flights were cancelled. Mimi, is that what happened, and why you had to stay?
Yeah. So I had a flight cancelled. There were a few days there where it was kind of back and forth, trying to figure out if it made sense to get a new flight. And so that was certainly a drama for a little while, but, you know, ultimately decided to just stick around.
Yeah. And you had the space and the room in Dunboyne, David? Michael David?
Yeah, I live on my own out in Dunboyne, very fortunately, with my dog. So I looked out. I would have just been in lockdown with my dog, who's a very good listener, but not so much a great talker back.
Yeah. But did you realise what was going to lie ahead here? That, you know, Mimi was trying to book flights to get back home. The new cases were emerging, the airport was closing down, etc. At what stage did you realise, look, we're going to have to make a plan here?
I think, yeah, like when she arrived and things started to lock down, and then the back and forth with United Airlines was happening. And yeah, within a few days, it became quite real that that there was going to be this indefinite period of time that she would be with me.
And you obviously got on, Mimi, because what a nightmare it would have been to have been locked down. It's kind of the COVID-19 elevator moment, isn't it? Where you get locked in an elevator with a stranger as such. You want to make sure it's somebody, whatever about the love element of it, but somebody that you actually were on the one wavelength with. You know, to make the
sure.
point that are there, you know, were the little mannerisms that you didn't like about him and vice versa that you had to get over?
I think we were really lucky that we got on really well kind of from the start. And, you know, I think that was part of the reason that it kind of made sense to stay, because we really did get along and there wasn't a whole lot we really disagreed on. And we also tried to give each other plenty of space. You know, we would kind of spend the mornings and the evenings together and then both kind of do our own thing during the day. But honestly, yeah, I think we wound up just really, really living well together.
And if you had arrived here on your own and found yourself in lockdown, how important was it to have somebody, you know, that you could spend time with over a long period of time? Because a lot of people have been very isolated by the lockdown.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was really important, and we both really supported each other. You know, it was definitely a really scary, difficult time in so many ways, and it was so helpful to have someone there to spend the time with who, you know, really made each other feel comfortable.
Yeah, Dave, Michael?
Yeah, I think so too, and from a dating point of view, I think it's an interesting story because, you know, we spent 2 months together, but those 2 months felt like 6 months worth of dating, you know, in terms of time spent together. So, and I've been reading articles about couples, you know, around the world that have turbocharged their relationship in similar ways. So we're not the only ones out there. And that's why, you know, this film came about.
Yeah, and that's what I want to ask you about. Where did the idea come, Michael David, to make a film, which people will be able to, I think it's been launched or
it's premiering at the Galway Film Flam next week.
Okay,
yeah.
Next week, and we'll give details out about that. But the idea of filming this, a bit risque?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, it didn't start, you know, it didn't come to us that we'd make a film out of this straight away. I guess, you know, the idea to start filming, you know, important moments or, you know, our lives comes from our instincts as filmmakers to document and create time capsules, you know, footage to look back on in years to come. And it's only when I sat down after a month and kind of compiled all of the things that we'd shot that I realized that there might be something really interesting for an audience to watch and potentially connect with. So it wasn't that we didn't go into this exploiting our relationship for
it
the purposes
happened.
Of this documentary. No, yeah.
Yeah. Mimi, what did it interfere or did it enhance your time together to be making a film?
Oh, wow. Interesting. I certainly wouldn't say it interfered. You know, I think maybe it did enhance in the way that it just, I think it made us really introspective about our time together. And I think really kind of our whole philosophy the entire time I was there was really just to try to, you know, live in the present and live in the moment, you know, and so much in the world was so uncertain, just really trying to take every day at a time. And I think that having that kind of philosophy in mind, you know, really lent itself to the film, but also just our own sort of survival.
But did the enormity of what was happening, did it at any stage, you know, get on top of you? Because you'd just broken up, you'd come out of a relationship as well. So, you know, there was that going on, the fact that you were away from your family, there was a little bit of uncertainty, there was probably, you know, a bit of tiredness settling in after a few weeks initially. And I think there is, that's reflected in part of the film, Mimi, as well, when you're both sitting at the kitchen table.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was definitely an emotional time, I think, for both of us. But yeah, there was definitely, you know, kind of a lot going on for me, and it was intense. But I think I was, you know, really grateful to be there and to be there with Michael David, and we really communicated through all of that, you know. And I think we're really able to support each other, even though it was a really difficult time.
Yeah, and then Michael David, you know, the time came obviously when Mimi was going to head back, and the film was coming together, which must have been great, but it meant that she was heading back as well. At what stage did you feel, I'm actually going to miss Mimi?
Yeah, I think, you know, what Mimi says there about, you know, living in the moment and taking each day as it comes really rings true. And it's, you know, it's only when you're faced with the last weekend together, and you know, early on in the middle of March when she was there, you know, her flight was booked. She was talking to United Airlines and she said, oh, when's the next flight you can get me on? They said May 5th, and that always felt like an eternity away. And then it's only in the days before that you realise, oh, you know, I'm really going to miss this person, and then I'm going to be, you know, quarantined alone, and I haven't done that yet. I haven't experienced that strand of things yet.
Yeah, it's a fair story to have. Lots of people have their stories from the year 2020 so far. Sadly, maybe what has happened over the last few months has been the breaking of relationships. In this case, it may be the making. The only bit, Mimi, that was missing at the end of the film, and I was looking out for it, was, you know, where they have, like, at the end of Back to the Future 1, they have the piece, to be continued. is this to be continued?
I mean, you know, I think we're sort of just continuing the philosophy we had while I was there of just, you know, living in the present and one day at a time, and so much about the future is uncertain right now, so we won't speculate. But, you know, definitely just continuing to take each day as it comes.
Michael David?
Yeah, like Mimi says, you know, I'm really grateful to have met her and to have, shared this crazy experience and to now have this.
Well, here's the question. Have you still got the Tinder app in your phone?
I actually don't, no.
Mimi?
My Tinder app probably says in Chicago briefly.
Okay, Mimi?
I don't have Tinder at the moment, no.
Okay, well, that's promising. Look, it's a lovely, you know, really well made, I have to say, enjoyable. And it's short.
Yes, it's a short documentary.
It's a short documentary. It's a beautifully shot visual documentary of what happened here. And I don't know how it's been replicated elsewhere in the world or in Ireland, whether this has happened where the COVID-19 has brought people together. It has, I suppose, in virtual ways, but physically it's actually obviously
kept
separated people.
Apart, yeah.
It's kept people apart. So it's great. So when can we see it? How can we see it?
So it's premiering at the Galway Film Flat next weekend. Galway have done an amazing job in bringing their whole physical festival online, so you can buy a ticket and rent the film for 24 hours and tune
Brilliant.
In from next Friday.
Oh, that's great to hear about the Galway. I mean, poor Galway has been badly hit, as we know, with so much this year as well in terms of the arts. Mimi, enjoy the July the 4th celebrations today, and who knows, we may see you back on this Green Isle in the future. You might be heading over to Chicago in the future. Do keep us informed. It's a lovely story. Thanks so much for sharing it with us. Michael David McKernan, who's here in studio with me, and all the way from Chicago, is Mimi Wilcox. The best of luck to both of you. Thanks a mil.
Thank you.
Email brendan@rte.ie.
Well, we heard how Mimi's decision to jump on a flight ended up romantically when she arrived here in Ireland. But there haven't been too many flights, obviously, since then, although they are getting back up and running again. And while there is an actual ban on taking a foreign holiday this year, so far, maybe I'm going over the top there saying a ban, but there's certainly we'll know on the 20th of July, let's say, whether or not the government are telling us don't go anywhere and what sort of implications that'll have for people that have bought holidays. But anyway, we want people to stay at home, and there's been lots of talk of staycation options for families. But what about the 1.5 million single people in this country? What are the safe and affordable options for them? Well, we've turned to Mancon McGann and Lisa Regan for some advice. Hello. Good morning, Mancon.
Hello to you, Damien.
Lovely to have you. You've always been an advocate for solo travel, whether by choice or not. What's so special about it?
I mean, it's not only just the singles. It's all the people who have been cocooned up together in the same box for so long and now want to escape.
Escape separately?
Exactly.
All right, okay.
Those people who are at their last thread.
Right.
So it opens up this new opportunity. So clearly there's a lovely camaraderie from growing with a group. But suddenly if you decide to go on your own, and as you said, I've been travelling on my own for 20 years. I fell in love about 4 years ago and had to learn slowly to travel with someone else. But it just means that you can, it's so self-indulgent. You can choose what you're going to do from every moment of time. If you suddenly want to do a surf lesson, if you don't want to see Blarney Castle, you can just at that last minute either, take on the class or avoid the castle. You just get this freedom to do what you want all the time.
But do you think then it's a good thing for couples to do
so
often?
Oh,
separately, really?
Yeah. So, the fact that I fell in love 4 years ago, me and my partner still travel alone mostly. You just get to immerse yourself.
So, it's not just for the singletons, as you said. It's this applies to all of us.
Yeah,
if we can.
Exactly. Every moment
is richer. I'll see you next
week.
I'm going this way. You go that way.
And you come back with this real excitement. You've both been indulged in your own passions and come back renewed.
The idea of a staycation doesn't really bother you. I know you've travelled, but you don't fly anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I gave up flying in February, and then the world gave up flying a month after me. So it's not been so hard so far. But I do, I did think it was going to be a sort of a difficulty to do that. But the richness of Ireland, even me, I've been for 15 years now, I've been reporting about travel abroad in Ireland. Mm. There's still so much of Ireland that I haven't seen that excites me. And this year of all years, where we get this opportunity to stay in Ireland, but to look at places that we wouldn't normally go. It's just, I'm full of excitement of the potential of the place.
Near as the chapel, last to mass and all
exactly.
of that sort of stuff. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Great, you're in Galway.
I am in Galway, yeah.
What's the weather like there today?
Well, hard to believe, but it's raining.
Oh, no. And is there much sign of life around there? Are we seeing tourists? Have the staycations begun?
They have begun. I mean, this week there's been a lot of people coming up from like places like Limerick, kind of close enough to us, like our nearest neighbours. And we're seeing signs of life on our streets again. Our pubs are obviously reopened and our restaurants and that, but you can still sense, you can really feel that Galway is actually a town of such tourists. You can really feel it now that we've such a small population, so we're really, really reliant on people to staycate in Ireland and to come to Galway, because otherwise it's just the footfall isn't in it for us, you know?
Yeah, but there is this dichotomy, embracing people arriving back in to spend money and opening places up, and then the apprehension of, you know, what's going to happen. But I suppose we can only deal with what's in front of us. Now, are you missing, you know, be honest now, Lisa, are you missing the idea of going away on a foreign holiday? Are you somebody that likes to travel, fly?
Yes, I have. Three of my trips actually were cancelled because of this. I was going off on three actually walking trips to Morocco and further afield. And I definitely will miss it. But this year is now all about just Ireland for me. I'm not going to travel this year overseas, and I'm just going to make the best of what we have.
Well,
here.
How many times did you be away in a given year?
Probably five or six.
Oh, God, you environmental terrorist, you. Mine con.
Well, the oil I have in my past from all the flying I have, I cannot be throwing stones at anyone.
Yeah, I know it's bad, all the flights, but I do. I love to travel and I love to go and experience different places. But this year, I have no desire to travel outside of Ireland at all. I'm just going to stay put and to really explore what's going on here on our doorstep.
OK, well, will you give us some examples of where you're going that might get us thinking as well? Where are you going to go instead of Morocco?
Yeah, well, so I started off, actually, I did my first little day trip out this week, you know, because it's all about little steps. And I only had to go an hour out the road. And I went out to Loughrea, a place called Teen Abbey Denari.
Yeah.
And there's a great Kylemore farmhouse cheese there where they produce all their own farmhouse cheeses. And we did a whole farm stay. We went out, we saw the cattle. It was just unbelievable. We walked the land, we made the cheese, sampled the cheese, had the brown bread and the tea. And it was such a beautiful half day out. And they're doing that. And I just thought it was a really good way to connect with what's actually on our doorstep and to get to know as well, actually the process of making cheese and what beautiful food and produce that we have here in Ireland ourselves. That was actually really, really enjoyable. I love that whole day.
Yeah, and there's lots of examples of that. I would know with my other hat on in here, talking to farmers and people in the food business around the country, that, you know, Mankind, have you come across, you know, a lot of these farmhouse tours now and kind of other enterprises attached on to primary farming?
Exactly.
Where you can actually go see cattle being milked and then eat the cheese.
Yes, so much of it. And the sad thing is we will do that when we're abroad. We'll go on a vineyard tour or an olive oil tour. But a lot of these new enterprises all throughout Ireland, as you said, people making cheese, people making kind of rapeseed oil and different things in their own home. But it's often foreign tourists who are coming. So this is an opportunity for us actually to open our minds and particularly do this thing of slow tourism, of rather than just going for the extreme adventure. Like the insight Lisa gets to that element of Loughrea by talking to the local people, hearing about the traditions, seeing how they're using the land to make a unique product. It only benefits us if we open our eyes to all these possibilities that are out there.
Okay, and I want you to give me a few ideas, right? Rather than this thing of just going, staying in a hotel, and we love our hotels. I'm a great hotel man, I have to say. I'm a bit of a snob like that, and I do fly, and I do miss flying, and I do miss going on city breaks, you know, to the Berlins and Brussels and all of this, you know, around Europe and visiting new cities like that. So hands up on that. I'm going to miss a lot of that as well. But Lisa, we can still get off the island here on staycations. There are lovely islands around the Irish coast.
Absolutely. I mean, one of my favourite islands is Inishbofin.
Love it.
And it's the one place that I literally, throughout the whole thing, everyone's like, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? And it's always Inishbofin for me. That is just pure and utter magic. You drive out to Cleggan, you get on the ferry, you're over there, and it's just such a special place.
And is Inishbofin, is it open now for business again?
No, I don't think so. I'm still waiting, but I'm sure maybe down the line that they will, maybe as the summer rolls on, because it is tourism really that keeps that island island going, you know. But it's
an island.
Place.
I mean, I've been there a couple of times. It's just idyllic. It's just brilliant. It's a throwback in time, really, as well. But they depend on tourism, as you said, from kind of March until October,
onwards.
And then they shut down and they live off whatever, you know, the businesses and brilliant businesses that are there. So we can't forget about the islands either. Although then you look at the Aran Islands, and you wonder maybe do some of the residents there want all of us super spreaders arriving off the boats and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm sure the islanders, though, around the country are welcoming of that. But yeah, the islands will be a good one to keep an eye on. Mangkhan, coming back to other pursuits that we can mm-hmm. enjoy in Ireland that we mightn't necessarily think of as singletons going around the country.
Yeah, it'd be parts of the country that, you know, there won't be, that weren't massive tourist areas, that there won't be hordes going to. Because the one thing we want to miss is those queues and those restrictions that are going to be in place in the Quay and likes of Dingle and Westport. Mm. So go to somewhere like the Barrow River. It's this, you know, stunning river going through Kildare, Carlow, down into Kilkenny and Wexford. Very few tourists to go there. And there have this been this line of tourist infrastructure that's been slowly put there, a lot for foreign walking tourists. But you can kayak the whole way down from Kildare down to Wexford.
Really?
Yeah, but there's day trips that solo people are invited to go on them. It's a company called Go With The Flow, and they have these trips called Spills and Trills every day, and you can just get on your own canoe and slowly, and it's a tame enough river. There's no massive rapids in it. You're going through like Greignamana, beautiful town, or say Mullins, like, which has a gorgeous little cafe which is open for business, yeah. Its own pizza, its own bakery, or even Boris, you know, Boris, this sort of old, gorgeous Georgian castle
yeah.
town.
Yeah.
All and Blackstring, no, is it Blackstairs Eco Tours? So they have these little like shepherd's huts on a farm overlooking the sort of the valley of the Barrow River. So either if you're on that kayak, you could do a 5-day trip, and there's this Go With The Flow will give you a kayak and a tent, or otherwise you can stay in B&Bs. That means, you know, finding solo rooms and trying not to get stung with solo supplements, single supplements. But it's doable, and it's an amazing holiday where you're yeah. away from everything.
So you're talking there about Carlow, for example, and there are probably other places a little bit up the country that if we want to avoid crowds.
Yeah,
and we're on our own, and you want to be outdoors. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of hidden gems.
Oh, like Leitrim. Leitrim is an expanse yeah. which we, as Irish people, haven't realised quite the full the potentials of tourism. And what all the tourist providers in Leitrim have done, they've come together with this thing called Slow Adventure Leitrim, which is basically giving people an opportunity to chill out, to get to know local people, a bit like, again, at Lisa did in Loughrea, and going either, you know, kayaking, stand-up, paddleboarding, cycling, hiking, surfing, canoeing on the rivers and the lakes of Leitrim, foraging the local food from the area. And again, there's one website which all of the different tourist providers in Leitrim sort of are signed up for, and they will allow either solo travellers, individuals, join their groups, or they'll organise your own sort of cycle trip or stand up paddleboarding or canoeing
trip. Stand up paddleboarding, what's
it's,
that?
It's a Hawaiian tradition. It was right. actually a Hawaiian fishing practice where it's basically just a surfboard
yeah.
and rather than trying to surf the waves, you have a big paddle, like a big brush or a big oar
okay.
and you're slowly going. It's really relaxing and a lot of fun. And it started up...
Are you using your feet to
No, you're standing on the board.
Oh, you're standing on it.
And it's not hard to do. Like surfing, it's hard to stand on a surfboard.
Yes.
It's very easy to stand on a stand-up paddleboard because they're very yeah. wide and they're sort of buoyant.
Sure.
So up in Mayo, again, North Mayo, you know, as I said, Westport and Achill is going to get tourists, beautiful as it yeah. is. Ballina and Killala and all get very few tourists. Mm. And there's some lovely routes along the Moy River. So Moy River...
I'm thinking of the Burren up in West Cavan, which we don't hear an awful lot about. That's
exactly.
just...
Oh, so the Cavan Burn is something that we didn't even know existed until about, you know, 6 or 7 yeah. years ago. It has all of those things. It has sort of the megalithic tombs. It has the Neolithic field structures, like in the Cade of Fields.
Mm-hmm.
It has all of that 330 million year old limestone fossils from the sea that was there in an area, as you say, of Cavan, that very few of us think of as a tourist
destination.
People
would know where it's Ballyconal, where Nevin...
Exactly, just near Black Lion and Belcoo.
Black Lion, sorry, yes. And straight out the road and turn left, and it's magnificent. So you can drop into Nevin for a bite to eat before or after if you want. Lisa, what about the cost? Is it more expensive still to travel solo?
Yeah, well, the single supplement thing is very annoying. I'm hoping that won't always be a thing. When it's added on, I was travelling at Christmas outside of Ireland in Vietnam, and I had that. I was on a cycling tour, and I didn't realise it till afterwards that I was the only one that paid the single supplement. And I was like, oh, right, okay. And I paid an extra like €300, you know, for that. And it was just like, oh, sometimes it gets a bit annoying, but it definitely does add to your cost. But then in other ways, you know, if you're travelling, you can be more savvy with your spend, you know. You can get your own lunches, you know, do picnics, do a lot more outdoorsy stuff, which is generally free, you know, walking, cycling, swimming in the sea and everything like that. So everything doesn't always have to be high cost.
Yeah. What about those of us now? And as again, I'm saying that what we need to do, obviously, is support local and support mm-hmm. hotels. And the hotels are going to be doing their damnedest to try and make sure that everywhere is clean and so on and so forth. But maybe for some of us, or maybe more, or older people, or more vulnerable people might want to go somewhere where, as I said, there isn't a crowd. So the idea of camping, glamping, B&Bs, does that float yeah. your boat, Lisa?
Yeah, no, it definitely does. And even just on that, on hotels, I saw an interesting one with the Hardy Man in Galway. They've a designated floor now for over 65s. So they can go and stay there in a very safe space, save their own dining room, and they can have tray service to their room as well. So that's a nice option for people if they want to do the hotel thing and they feel a little bit vulnerable and don't feel, you know, like they want to kind of mix in with the whole hotel's thing. Yeah. But definitely as well as that, camping is like the self-catering and the camping, that has come on in leaps and bounds in Ireland so much. There's so many different options out there now. Even just like, there's a great website, Home to Go, and that's really good. You can see what kind of houses you can rent on that. And they start from like €51 per night. So you could really have a look at that and see yourself how long you want to go there for, 2 or 3 days or whatever. And then you know you're in control of everything then, because it's just you and whoever you might have with you or on your own in that house.
Yeah. I was interested to read about night kayaking. Moncong. What's that like? Have you ever been on it?
Oh yeah, this is like magical. This is something that National Geographic has said that Ireland's night kayaking opportunities is like world standard. Again, I was thinking it was one of the top 10 unusual experiences in TripAdvisor. And it was in Ireland, it was sort of pioneered by a man, Jim Kennedy, now down in Cork, down in West Cork or East West Cork sort of.
Yeah, I did this as well. It's so cool.
Oh, isn't it something yeah. else? And basically it's just going out at dusk on a kayak, but in an area, particularly in summertime, because what we, again, some we didn't realise in Ireland, west of Ireland has some of the best phytoplankton, the best nighttime phosphorescence in the world.
So there's natural light.
Exactly, yeah. So basically it is something, there's an oil stick on the water and it's a type of bacteria and fungus that is luminous at night. And so suddenly you're out, every time you put the paddle into the water, you get this sparkle, this sort of tinkle bell of light and mm-hmm. constellations of stars coming out of the water. It's the most relaxing thing. And on a pleasant night, you'll see the red sky behind you to the west. You'll see the birds silhouetted along the bank and the moon maybe in the sky, and you're just out there in this illuminated wonderland.
So you don't have to bring a flash lamp with you or anything?
No, you could actually read, on a really good night, you could read the paper from the light coming out, you know, the light that sparkles every time you put your paddle into the water.
But what if you're not into water? Well, sorry, do you have to be, you know, a really good swimmer? I know it's a silly question, but I just, like, I never was in a kayak in my life, I don't think. But could I go out and do it?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely safe because, I mean, those trips from Atlantic Sea Kayaking go from Castletown Haven and Lough Inn, both right. very calm areas. But, like, again, we have amazing now blue kayak trails in Ireland and just kayaking opportunities. But because we don't have the skills, we don't avail of them. So this would be the year that I would love if people decided to do a sea kayaking course, learn how to do the row, learn how to manage difficult water. And suddenly these vast swathes of the Irish waters all around us are open up to us. And anywhere in almost every county there are opportunities. You know, in Galway there's Kayak Moor, in Dunleary there's deep sea kayaking, and Howth there's Shearwater. Everyone has kayaking organisations that will do you this course, and suddenly you have these old vast area open up to you to kayak all on your own, completely social distancing.
Okay, so from kayaking to yoga, Lisa, finally to you. You're a big fan of yoga holidays. Is this again something that is more enjoyable if you're single or, you know, on your own?
The great thing about a yoga retreat or anything to do with wellness, that it really doesn't matter if you go on your own or you go with six of your pals. I did one last year up in Dublin, just went up, had a fabulous day, did there. And I always go on these because they really do just kind of with the reset button and everything. And it's great to not have to ask someone to go on something if you just want to do something yourself. They're so all inclusive. So I'm excited because Yoga Mara Escapes are going to be putting back on. They do nice ones out in Ballinahinch Castle, and they were meant to have one in Croatia, but of course with this they had to cancel it. Yeah. So there's loads of options throughout the country for little yoga things, and they're definitely things that you can just go to on your own because they're very friendly and inclusive, and everybody's just there really just to kind of relax yeah. and to reset. So the chats are always very mild.
Okay, and some of these solo pursuits, Moncong and Lisa, could actually turn into, you know, kind of organic Tinders as well. You know, meeting other like-minded singletons.
Why not?
Yeah. Well, enjoy your summer, Lisa. Lovely,
you too,
lovely
Damien.
To chat to you. And
you too.
Great to hear that things are getting, you know, going well there in Galway. Moncong, always a pleasure to chat to you. Thank you very much indeed. Lovely to hear you on the programme as well. Okay, we're back with more after this break.
Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, text coming in here. Margaret saying Sligo is great too. And then tell everyone to come to Roscommon. It's brilliant. That's from Paddy Joe. I think that must be Paddy Joe, the barber. Hello, Paddy Joe. Hope you had a busy week. There, Cormac, you've been to the barbers as well. Cormac O'Hara, good morning.
Self-inflicted, I'm afraid. Well, during the lockdown.
Things don't go well in broadcasting. You go into the old hair testing.
Yeah, what if? Come here to me. I'm really looking forward to this programme today at 1 o'clock, Damien, because to round off a horrible week for the first government, the new Taoiseach Micheál Martin has had to come out today to explain and defend the story in the front page of the Irish Independent about the drink driving controversy that's hit Fianna Fáil now, because Barry Cowan apparently has served a 3-month drink driving ban. It is 4 years ago. He is saying he's profoundly sorry and that it was a mistake and that he's ashamed of it.
Is he obliged to tell Micheál Martin?
But the fact of the matter is he didn't tell Micheál Martin. And I think that's what some of the controversy is stemming from, because the appointment, he was appointed as Minister for Agriculture last Saturday. And since then, not a dicky bird. Some people are saying that he should have told Micheál Martin, okay, and would he have appointed Barry Cowan? That's a question, I suppose. But that is, we're going to discuss that briefly in the programme today. This is a huge weekend, and you've alluded to it, in terms of the hospitality sector. So you have pubs and restaurants and cafes up and down the country having to deal with the new COVID era in terms of the first weekend of it this weekend. And I can tell you one thing, they are crying out for urgent action. This July stimulus cannot come quick enough. But some of them, I think, are a little bit spooked by the Gorda inspections that will have to be done in pubs up and down the country as well. What effect will that have? We'll have to wait and see. And some people simply do not trust the pubs, some of the politicians, to self-inspect in terms of social distancing or to turf people out after 105 minutes. So we'll have an awful lot to discuss during the programme about that and the political controversy as well.
OK, looking forward to it. The first new government Saturday with Cormac O'Hara. So we'll be tuned in just after the 1 o'clock news. Cormac, the Gurumila Markle, as always, for that. Well, I've enjoyed that over the last couple of hours, so much so that if they'll have me, I'll be back here tomorrow at 11. So you won't be here, Ava, but thank you so much for dropping by. Today's show was produced by Tom Donnelly, researched by Katrina McFadden. Bridget Nicholas was the broadcast coordinator, and on sound was Cara O'Hare. Stay tuned for Cormac O'Hara after the 1 o'clock news, and I'll chat to you tomorrow morning. Have a great Saturday.